This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pull. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, back in our Lexington studios for a post-Breeders' Cup edition of the program this morning. Do want to welcome everybody joining us coast-to-coast on Sirius XM Channel 93, and everybody tuning in worldwide with our streaming at horseracingradio.net, and of course, everyone joining us on our affiliates across the country as well. 182 days, 9 hours, 31 minutes, and 47 seconds until the Run for the Roses at Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May.
Well, you don't even take a minute to breathe, do you?
Even, I thought you might enjoy that.
Even the Pontiff's taking a week off of horse racing.
Yeah, we have kind of had this 1 week lull after the Breeders' Cup, and I think so many people in the sport have, right? But what a Breeders' Cup that it was. I mean, we lost Beholder. That was very disappointing. We were looking forward to that showdown with American Pharoah, but what a show he put on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it was an awesome 2 days. Saturday was off the hook. Keeneland did an excellent job. The weather cooperated. It was a little chilly, but it didn't rain, so all the people that had bought seats out in the open did not get wet, and I mean, it was just magnificent racing. It was exciting. It was a lot of fun to be there. The energy was fantastic. So, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I will be completely honest. I was one of the people that had my doubts about how this whole Breeders' Cup at Keeneland was going to come together. And I really didn't expect it to go as smoothly as it did. And when you talk to people both in the industry and outside of the industry who had a chance to attend the Breeders' Cup both days, Friday and Saturday, the response is the same. It was easy to get in, easy to get out. The traffic flow was impeccable. And if you were making a bet, if you were trying to get to a food stand or whatever it might be, if you were trying to get a beer or a soda, everything seemed to be relatively easy to do. And tip your hat to the Breeders' Cup and tip your hat to Keeneland, because they really did put on a tremendous show and it all came together beautifully.
Yeah, I was at the UK basketball game last night with the former director of communications at Keeneland, Jim Williams. And we were talking about it during the game because the Cats blew out Kentucky State. But, Jim had taken a shuttle bus. Said that was absolutely flawless. The longest he waited in line for anything was like 15 minutes, 12 to 15 minutes for a sandwich at noon. Typical Penna fashion.
Yeah.
It's 12 o'clock, I have to eat.
Right.
But,
8, 12, and 5.
Yeah, that's right. So, when you're looking at that kind of a crowd, with virtually no waiting at the windows, no waiting, you know, for food or drink, you know, unbelievable. And everybody, I mean, you know, people were smiling all day. There was no, you know, fights breaking out or people being disgruntled,
right,
and
none.
All of that. Everybody seemed to enjoy themselves. And that's the best that you can ask for if you put on an event like that, that everybody has a good time. So whether you won money, lost money, you know, I was trying to explain to somebody that even if I lose a bet on Breeders' Cup Day, I don't care because I'm so happy for the people that win. And the event is so great. You know, the racing itself kind of overshadows the betting, even though the betting is awesome,
yeah,
right? You're getting huge prices on horses that can really run. But it's just one of those things where, you know, when somebody wins a Breeders' Cup race, it's such a big deal. And I take such pleasure in their pleasure of winning, you know, and it's really cool.
All right, here's the poll question for today. We want to know, what was the most impressive performance over the two-day Breeders' Cup World Championships, in your opinion? And I have a couple of ways that you can go on this one. I think, you know, certainly American Pharoah is going to get an awful lot of votes over the course of the next couple of hours on the program. I also think you could go in the direction of Tepin, the filly who won the Breeders' Cup Mile, because she, when Julian Leperoux said go and she opened up, it was extremely impressive. And to see her hold off that field, that a lot of people thought, look, she can't beat that type of field. She can't beat the boys at their own game going a mile at Keeneland. And she did it. And she did it very impressively.
Yeah, I mean, certainly she's a filly that loves Keeneland, obviously.
Yeah.
Wow, talking about a filly that loves the Keeneland turf course. But there are two other horses that I think ran off the hook. You know, I got to say that Nyquist was... Yep. Unbelievable from the 14 hole. I mean, this horse was so wide. I mean, you hardly ever, maybe never, see a horse have that kind of trip,
yeah,
and win like he did. Very impressive performance. And I think Stop Charging Maria was much in the same boat. She, you know, she had a kind of a wide trip turning for home, lost a lot of ground and kept to her task. And I thought she ran really, really well too. And then of course, who could beat the story of the Breeders' Cup Mongolian Saturday? Mongolian, yeah, Saturday.
Well,
another,
just the
another
outfits
horse
alone.
The outfits alone. But I mean, another horse with a bad post and just a tremendous performance. And of course, very popular with the Pontiff.
I wonder how many votes we will get for Run Happy, because Run Happy sets a new track record in what, 108 and change, and winning the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and the horse just doesn't know how to lose. And I wonder if we'll get a lot of votes for Run Happy here this morning as well. But we want to hear from you at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. What was the most impressive performance, the singular best performance of the entire Breeders' Cup, in your opinion? And, of course, you can also email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net, and we'll try to pass those along as we move throughout the morning.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what people think, how many votes American Pharoah gets. I mean, American Pharoah ran great, right?
Huge.
Huge. But he was supposed to.
He was supposed to. He was supposed to control the pace like he did. I thought Mike Smith was a extremely cagey in his ride with FNX.
Yeah.
You're going to hear from him coming up later on in the program. We have some clips from Mike and some clips from the other connections involving those horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic, including American Pharoah. We're going to have all that for you coming up here in the first hour of the program. But I thought Mike Smith rode a very, very smart race on FNX.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once he realized he wasn't going to win, he tried to get that big check.
Yeah.
Mikey's no dummy. He has bills.
We're going to look back on some of these tremendous performances, including American Pharoah and that Breeders' Cup Classic. We will do that in the first half of this, in the first segment of the show. You'll hear from Ahmed Zayat, who joined our Anthony Stabile on Express Bet Radio this past week, as well as Mike Smith and the reaction from assistant trainer Jimmy Barnes, who was corralled by Sean Clancy yet again right after the horse crossed the finish line as part of our coverage. And Sean has caught up with Jimmy Barnes throughout the entire Triple Crown. He grabbed him after the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And so he grabs him again after the Breeders' Cup Classic, just to kind of put a bow on everything with American Pharoah.
Yeah, they have to stop meeting like this.
I think Jimmy would be happy to keep meeting like that.
I think Jimmy's happy it's actually over with. He can get back to his life now.
Well, it's been quite a ride. We're going to look back on that ride in the first segment. Then we're going to hear from Mike Smith again in the second segment of the program, because he, of course, guided Songbird to victory in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and another two-year-old who couldn't have been any more impressive from her outside post position. We'll hear from owner Ken Ramsey, who, again, caught up with Sean Clancy after the Philly and Mare Turf victory by Stephanie's Kitten. That comes up later in the first half of the program as well. And we're not going to duck the Run Happy thing either. We'll share our thoughts on that whole situation coming up toward the end of the first hour. In the second half of the show, we segue into some interviews with, first of all, trainer Mark Cassie, right around 9 o'clock Eastern. Shannon Potter from Town & Country Farm will be here with us in studio at 9:30 Eastern, and he will take a look back on Stop Charging Maria's impressive win in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. And then Doug O'Neill will join us from California to talk about Nyquist and that huge win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. We'll get to our first break. We'll come back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late run. Oh, it's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
Don't miss Penn National's Holiday Racing Festival on Wednesday night, November 25th, when the legendary millionaire Ben's Cat tries to win his fourth consecutive running of the six-furlong, $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes. But it won't be easy, as his talented competition will be led by Favorite Tail, fresh off a sharp third-place finish in the $1 million Breeders' Cup Sprint. Post time for the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival is 6 p.m.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you, with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service, and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Don't miss the Land of Enchantment Day at Zia Park in Hobbs, New Mexico, with over $1 million in purses. Watch and wager as three-year-old fillies meet in the $300,000 added Oaks at 1 1/16, and the Zia Park Derby for three-year-olds worth over $200,000, plus the Grade 1 Zia Park Quarter Horse Championship at 440 yards. Join us Wednesday, November the 25th at New Mexico's Zia Park.
A multiple Eclipse champion with more than $6.1 million in earnings.
How about that? Gio Ponti will go back to the winner's circle today.
Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponti topped the first session of the OBS Fall Mix Sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 and 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirellone, at Belmont Park. Champion Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions.
Kale Density announces a revolutionary gastrointestinal guard and aid for all classes and all ages of horses. A natural registered animal feed product, it comes as a single dose disposable syringe or a handy top dress squeeze pouch. Field trials on Kale Density Digestive Aid have returned 100% favorable results as observed by their trainers and owners, and the cost is half of what horsemen are accustomed to paying. Kale Density Digestive Aid will be available in mid-November, or you can order online at kaledensity.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
American Pharoah, through it all, still in front, opens back up here by 2.5, 3 lengths to the top of the stretch. FNX continues to give chase, Frosted third, Totalist in fourth, a quarter mile from home, and American Pharoah is into the stretch at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup Classic. A 5-length lead as he comes to the eighth pole. FNX second, Frosted far back in third, Totalist is in fourth, into the final furlong. There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He wins it in 2 minutes flat.
Kurt Becker with the call of that Breeders' Cup Classic 1 week ago. That was last Saturday at Keeneland, and American Pharoah really just putting a exclamation point on a tremendous year and a tremendous career. Of course, that was his final career start, and couldn't have done it more impressively here in the Bluegrass. And JT, what a way to go out for the Triple Crown winner.
Yeah, well, it's a storybook ending, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's what everybody was hoping for. Everybody got it. You know, just awesome. And I saw you went to visit him on Monday, was it? Sunday or Monday? Which day? How much rest did he get before you went to visit him?
When did we go? What is today? Today is Saturday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
he
I ran on Saturday. I went to see him on Wednesday. No, Thursday.
Thursday?
I was out to Coolmore on Thursday.
You gave him 3 days off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My thanks to everybody at Coolmore, too. They were great. They had him out. It wasn't just us. There were several other people, several other potential breeders that were out there looking at him. But boy, he was so cool. They brought him out, and he stood there as calm as you would want. Never turned a hair. Didn't matter how many people were there taking pictures. We actually asked the folks at Coolmore about the cotton, if they were still going with the cotton in his ears, like Bob Baffert did throughout his career. And they said, you know, at first we did, but now we're starting to kind of back off on that. And you know, we're not going to have 90,000 people out here screaming at him and you know and cheering for him. So we think we're going to be okay. And he never turned a hair. Such a great disposition, and boy, does he look spectacular!
Yeah, well, he's used to having a lot of, you know, photographers and looky-loos around. So I would imagine he's probably cool with it. He's such a cool horse. I mean, he was when I met him, he was in his stall at Del Mar, and he was just so relaxed. And you know, there was a steady stream. I'm sitting in Baffert's office, and people were coming. You know,
yeah,
bringing their friends. Oh, can we see him? Oh, can we see him? And, you know, after he ate, they were starting to let people take their selfies and stuff. If you would have told me I was going to take a selfie with some racehorse, I would have told you I don't take selfies anyway.
Right.
But and then, you know, if you were going to say, oh, yeah, you're going to take a selfie with a racehorse, I go, you're smoking wacky tobacco. I mean,
yeah.
There's just and then here I am. Here I am at Del Mar. With this horse, with his head on my shoulder, and it wasn't a selfie that my daughter actually took the pictures.
Right,
but I mean, unbelievable. The horse was so cool, and it was great. It was a great experience for me. So I have now met in person the last four Triple Crown winners.
Yeah,
that's how old I am.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
yeah, it's impressive. You get the chance to go out to Coolmore to Ashford Stud and see American Pharoah and take a look at all their stallions. It wasn't just American Pharoah. We got a chance to see Competitive Edge and Scat Daddy and Magician and even the old man Thunder Gulch, who was out there. Let's see, 23 years old.
Thunder
now,
Gulch.
I think.
I'll never forget watching him come off the van at Santa Anita going to Wayne Lucas's barn.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He was my wife and I, our first official date, I've told this story before, was back in 1995. And I said to her, I said, hey, I have an extra ticket to the Belmont, so you know, hey, baby, want to go to the Belmont?
And, you're so smooth.
And, yeah, and somehow she said
Barron's
yes.
Barron's got game.
Yeah. So, of course, that was the year that Thunder Gulch won. And so it's been 20 years since that visit to the Belmont, and got a chance to catch up with the old man again this past week. That was kind of cool, although he's a bit curmudgeonly in his old age now.
Really?
And he was, you know, I was petting him, and you know how I am around horses, right? I'm getting better, but he didn't want any part of that, and neither did I, really, quite frankly. And so Scott Calder, who was out there with Coolmore, was in the stall with him. And he says, here, you have to get a picture with him. And he says, you can come in here. And I said, no, I'm fine. I'll just take a picture of you with him. Just hold his head so I can get a good headshot.
You weren't wearing your Steelers hat by any chance?
Let me think. I was.
You know he's a Bengals fan.
Thunder Gulch?
Yeah.
When did he become a Bengals
when
fan?
When he moved to Kentucky.
No, he's not. He might be a Kentucky Wildcat fan. Anyway, so we told you we were going to look back on American Pharoah and that huge win last weekend in the Breeders' Cup Classic. We told you throughout the week on so many of our countdown shows that Ahmed Zayat had stated publicly that the Triple Crown was for the fans. And the Breeders' Cup Classic, the reason he wanted to win that race so bad, because he wanted it for the horse, because the horse had accomplished so much, this was going to be for the horse. And earlier this week, Ahmed Zayat joined Anthony Stabile and Sean Morris on Express Bet Radio here on HRN, and he talked about wanting this classic win for American Pharoah.
Bob and I wanted to come back and to make sure that the horse comes back and win and redeem for himself. It wasn't about Zayat Stables. It wasn't about myself. It wasn't about Bob. It wasn't about the jock. We wanted it for the horse. We wanted American Pharoah place in the history. I know, he already is a legend because he's a Triple Crown winner, but nevertheless, we want him to go out as a winner. And we were very nervous and made everything possible physically to make sure that he was training well and that he's happy and he's ready for a big performance.
And how about the training job by Bob Baffert? It was well documented. I don't think Bob really wanted to go to the Travers, right? It wasn't the spot he wanted to bring American Pharoah, but he did it. The horse still ran great, just gets touched off by Keen Ice at the end after putting away Frosted in a very game runner-up performance. Then they give him the time, and Baffert does everything perfectly with American Pharoah in the weeks leading up to the Breeders' Cup Classic, and you see the result.
Yeah, well, you would expect nothing less, really. And, you know, you look back in the Travers, he got beat, but not the end of the world, and the Travers helped prepare him for the Breeders' Cup Classic. So, in the words of Merce Cunningham, everything is perfect.
Yep.
You just have to change your point of view. And that's really what training horses is all about, is making the adjustments necessary to get where you want to go on a particular day. And, you know, Bob Baffert, I don't know if there's anybody better. And he's really gotten to be a little old school now. I mean, he's changed his style of training considerably.
Yeah.
And it really shows with this horse.
Ahmed also went on to talk about the outpouring of support that they've seen for American Pharoah.
I cannot tell you, Sean, how much literally we have been so touched and how this, I think the reason, honestly, that why this horse have connected so much with America, I would say, not just racing fans or just a public. I wouldn't even dare say not just America. I mean, people from all over the world. I think because of the fact that he brought us hope. We all have been waiting for 37 years to something to happen, and he was just the one who got it done. So I think people felt, you know, very inspired. And the fact that he's an unbelievable mover, he's the most gorgeous poetry in motion. I mean, he's the ultimate textbook in mechanics. I mean, the way this horse moves is like freakish. I mean, I don't know if you've seen him breeze. I mean, he looks so easy and effortless. His stride length is insane. It's almost between 26 and 27 feet. It's ludicrous. I mean, it's huge. I mean, just, you know, to give you a concept, most of horses are like 21. I mean, I think the Secretariat was like maybe 22, 23. I mean, you're talking about an incredible, but it's the way, I mean, the horse floats. I mean, the horse literally floats in the air. So the way he is in terms of his sheer brilliance, speed, but what makes people so also connect to him is his persona. He is kind. He is cuddly. He's friendly. You can leave a toddler with him, and he would. He's so intelligent, know not to move, and treat him accordingly. You can have, the other day we had a special need child who came and saw him just after the race, and I cannot tell you how gentle the horse have been. Almost letting the kid touch him and pet him, and he's not moving and being very cautious not to move. Like, you can see it in American Pharoah. It's an unbelievable feeling. I mean, it makes you a believer. You look at it, and your heart is so worn by passion. You almost want to cry about the special connection. If I sound idle, I'm in love because he is really a special animal. I mean, you can't help him but love him. I mean, he is so, I have been fortunate to have a lot of good horses and of high caliber and, classic kind of horses, but some of them are really full of themselves. They know who they are. They're kind of mean. I'm the man. And this guy is completely the opposite. He has so much grace and humbleness. If you describe him as a person, he's humble, too much grace. He's kind. He's loving. He's the gift that gives and never ends. I mean, we owe him everything.
Do you think Ahmed Zayat has fallen in love with American Pharoah?
Evidently. I mean, I think everything that he said was true, though. I mean, the horse is like that. Now, he's not real fond of you touching him, his face and stuff, because it's one of the things that I like to do. I mean, he's not real fond of that. Jimmy Barnes told me, just let him come to you. Don't try to touch him or whatever. And once I quit playing with his face, he came over and put his head on my shoulder, and that was it.
Yeah.
He's an amazing horse. He really is. I didn't know about the stride thing. I mean, that's
26 to 27 feet.
Yeah,
is what he said.
That's insane. And he's just one of those individuals. You talk about greats like Stan Musial or. He's just one of those natural athletes that's in a different dimension than everybody else.
He used the word hope in the beginning of that interview clip, and he said he gave us hope, gave everybody hope. A lot of people were beginning to wonder if we'd ever see another Triple Crown winner, right? There was even talk of changing the distances, changing the spacing in between the races, because it hadn't happened in 37 years. And I always maintained, and you maintained, you can't do that. It wouldn't be the Triple Crown. Eventually, a horse will come along that's worthy of pulling off that feat. And he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had horses that were worthy of pulling it off, but they didn't pull it off. And I just I hate the way things are now when everybody wants to change the rules because it doesn't suit them. I mean, that's just kind of the way that our society has gone. And they always want to change the rules and make things differently, because this didn't happen or that didn't happen or... the Mets didn't win the World Series or whatever it is. Everybody's got their own things. And I just feel like, the Triple Crown. Now, I was at a little bit more of an advantage in that because I had already lived through three of them where a lot of people haven't, I knew it was possible to do, and I never bought in, and I still don't buy into the stuff that horses are different now, and they can't run every week, and that's like a very American thing too. We saw Found come over three races at three different race tracks in a month, right? I mean,
how about La Verdad in the Philly Amer Sprint? Right? She ran a gigantic race after just winning. The week before.
Sprinters that return off of a good race in 30 days, are a high percentage play when you're gambling. If they come back in 10 days, it's even a higher percentage, So, I mean, all of those things. And then you look at the Triple Crown in Australia where it's run three Saturdays in a row.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so horses can do amazing things. And people... just don't realize it here in our country, but it's a tribute to the horse that they can overcome a lot.
Well, one of two horses in the Classic that was not a millionaire was FNX, and he was a huge long shot. He was ridden by Hall of Famer Mike Smith, the winningest jockey in the history of the Breeders' Cup. And Mike rode a masterful race, and he talked about chasing American Pharoah.
You know, sometimes you just got to know. I mean, as we all know, I mean, American Pharoah is who he is. I was sitting, you know, close enough to him where I really kept an eye on him, where if I thought that he was going to struggle at any point, I would try to take advantage of it. But he wasn't, Anthony, he wasn't struggling at all, actually. I mean, he was well in the bridle and just looked loaded any time Victor wanted him. And I felt that if I go at him early, he might just take the wind out of myself and I don't get second. So, again, I just pretended I was on a lead and didn't pay much attention to him at that point because I felt he was traveling way too good to even try him early. I might try him early I felt that all I was going to do was just make him pick it up and open on up and probably take the wind out of myself. So I just kept giving my horse confidence, kept giving him confidence. And when I called on him down the stretch, he finished full run and held them all off at it. With two or three lengths, I believe, he held them off of. So he ran pretty impressive.
Well, you can see why he's won more Breeders' Cup races than any jockey in history. Didn't win this one, but as crafty as that ride was, and as you heard those comments, he just pretended that he was on the lead. He was all alone in second. He said, I'm just going to pretend that I'm on the lead because I know I'm not good enough to try American Pharoah at any point without putting myself in jeopardy on FNX. Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
That's why you're Mike Smith. That's why you've won more Breeders' Cup races than anybody else. And I don't know how many seconds he's got, but I'm sure it's plenty.
Yeah.
That
was $1 million for second.
Well, yeah. So you're looking at $100,000 in his pocket probably because most owners pay 10% across the board in the Breeders' Cup. I mean, it's fiscally responsible. I mean, it was a great ride. I know the Uber capper was happy because FNX was his pick against American Pharoah.
Yeah.
Friends don't let friends bet chalk. And
he didn't.
But, all of those things considered, it was brilliant. And it's really interesting to, hear him talk about it, hear Joel Rosario talk about, finishing second and enjoying the Triple Crown moment from second place, the best seat in the house, looking at American Pharoah's rear end disappear into the sunset. So, I mean, it's just, it's great that these guys are that smart and, they do the best for their connections. I mean, they're getting paid to ride the best race they can. And I'm sure the owners of FNX appreciated that $1 million check at the end of the day.
He did say that. He went on at the end of that interview and he said that the owners, the trainer, Jimmy Jerkins, everybody was extremely happy with that runner-up effort. And he said, so I felt like we did our job.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He's absolutely right.
I used to love it when guys would, they try to get third or try to get fourth. I mean, there's nothing worse than having a horse be competitive in a race, have a jock wrap up on him and not get paid.
Yeah. We're going to hear more from Mike Smith in our next segment as he looks back on his winning ride with Juvenile Filly Songbird. But before we get to our next little commercial break here, I told you that Sean Clancy caught up with assistant trainer Jimmy Barnes after each of the Triple Crown races. He caught up with him after the Breeders' Cup Classic as well.
Jimmy Barnes, assistant trainer for Bob Baffert. We've been here three times. What's this one mean?
Wow, that was something special, huh? The Grand Slam, Super Slam, but boy, he showed up today, and that's a real American Pharoah.
Describe your emotion through this. I know this is the last one. It's got to be the most bittersweet, or what is it?
It's very sweet. Yeah, no, we're not sad at all. He's going out a hero and a champion, and just what we wanted.
How nervous were you coming up to it?
I wasn't nervous at all. No, this horse makes you calm. He's so good.
No movie like a good ending, I guess, huh?
Absolutely.
Jimmy Barnes with Sean Clancy. We're not emotional at all or something. What did he say? Somewhere along those lines. As his voice is cracking,
yeah,
and he's breaking up.
Yeah. Well, I think the word is relief, you know? I mean, it is such pressure. And Jimmy Barnes, he took the whole ball of wax on his shoulders. I mean, he literally carried this horse through the Triple Crown, to the Haskell, to the Traverse, to the Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, he tried to take as much pressure off of Bob as possible, you know, and he did. And he literally carried this horse around the country, went in races with them, and, you know, hats off to Jimmy Barnes. I mean, but, you know, when it's all over with, it's got to be just a tremendous sense of relief that you've done what you set out to do, and now, you know, you get a sense of normalcy back. I mean, what Jimmy Barnes did is not a normal thing, you know. When you work for a trainer, and even if you work for Bob Baffert or Todd Pletcher or Billy Mott or whoever, you know, you're used to being around good horses, and you're going here and you're going there and you're doing your thing. But this was in a whole different category. This horse really had a lot of responsibility, and Jimmy shouldered the bulk of that.
All right, this is typically the time when we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf story, but in the interest of time and wanting to make sure that we bring you a full look back on the Breeders' Cup and all of the interview clips that we have coming up in the remainder of the first half of the program, we will bypass the story portion of this, but do want to tell you about the Lexus Store of Lexington and the godfather Tony Ottiano and all the great folks there. I've told you for a couple of years now that I've had my Lexus RX, and I couldn't be happier with the vehicle itself, but couldn't be happier with the overall experience at the Lexus Store. Not only with making the purchase of the vehicle, but then bringing it in for the required services every few months or whatever it might be. Every person is treated like a king, treated like a queen, and they bend over backwards to take care of you. The people make the difference at the Lexus Store of Lexington. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. Go in and talk some horses with the godfather and all the great folks. Trust me, you won't be disappointed, and you will walk out of there with a smile on your face and an awesome new vehicle at the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back with more, including more clips from Hall of Famer Mike Smith in the next segment.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Ottiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Here comes Flame!
A photo finish that Blaine got!
6 graded stakes wins, 3 grade 1 victories, 9 consecutive 100-plus buyers. And now, Blaine has sired graded stakes quality from his first crop. His first runners are stars at tracks across the country.
It's far from over with a terrific performance!
Eclipse champion Blaine at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power. Carrick Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News Canarias, is fighting back. Carrick Gondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrick Gondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Gondi with a rush on the outside goes Bannum. Lead one from Edeldor. Carrick Gondi, Edeldor. Carrick Gondi.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple group and grade one winner, Carrick Gondi. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Carrick Gondi won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Carrick Gondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power.
Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gaines Way Farm.
Don't miss Penn National's Holiday Racing Festival on Wednesday night, November 25th, when the legendary millionaire Ben's Cat tries to win his fourth consecutive running of the six-furlong, $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes. But it won't be easy, as his talented competition will be led by Favorite Tail, fresh off a sharp third-place finish in the $1 million Breeders' Cup Sprint. Post time for the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival is 6 p.m.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce Summer Front for the 2016 breeding season.
Summer Front and Joe Bravo have won.
A multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by the Great War Front, Summer Front began his career as an undefeated multiple stakes winner at 2 before going on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5. Boasting a top-class pedigree and the jaw-dropping looks that made him a $475,000 sales horse. The explosiveness, the looks, and the pedigree to be a truly important sire. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And Songbird comes off the far turn with the advantage by 4 lengths. Mike Smith has not asked her for a thing. Meanwhile, John Velasquez getting after Rachel's Valentina, begging her to wake up and respond. Nickname is in third, and Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole. Has the lead by 6. Rachel's Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field. Rachel's Valentina was home second. Dothraki Queen made a late run to third, and then Nickname was fourth. 1 minute, 42 and 3/5 seconds.
Kurt Becker with the call on Horse Racing Radio Network, and of course, Songbird dominating the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. And very impressive, and some people will certainly say she was the most impressive of the Breeders' Cup, and those votes coming in now. Don't forget, that's our poll question for this morning. You can tweet to us at HRRN or hit us up on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and let us know which performance, which horse you thought was the singular most impressive either Friday or Saturday this past weekend at Keeneland. Mike Penn and Jude Feld with you on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, all presented by Lane's End. We are in our Lexington studios and looking back on so many of those memorable moments from last weekend.
Yeah, it was just an awesome weekend, really. I just can't say enough about it. Fantastic. I mean, other than the fact that we froze our tuchus off at our location.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was really good. Once you got past the fact that you couldn't feel anything below your knees, it was just an awesome Breeders' Cup.
Makes you look forward to Florida in a couple of months, doesn't it?
No kidding.
Bring on Gulfstream Park.
It's funny you should mention that, because I was sitting there and I was really, really cold. And I'm a guy that doesn't get that cold that often. And I was thinking, man, oh, man, it's going to be a lot different at the Claiming Crown.
Yeah.
I'm probably the only guy at the Breeders' Cup thinking about the Claiming Crown.
Some responses coming into that poll question. Let's see. We have one here. Liam's Map. The most impressive. Liam's Map in a box and still won. Chad Brown, who continues to prove he is a master at getting horses properly prepped for big races. We have another response here that says, number one, American Pharoah, self-explanatory. Liam's Map with the awful trip. And then number three, Songbird. Another vote for Liam's Map. Boxed in and exploded in the stretch. We have a vote. We have a vote for Jack Lee, the bartender on the first floor. The Bloody Marys were the best. Great tweet.
That's good.
Hit it a bomb. 14 posts versus very strong juvenile turf field. And Nyquist, crazy wide, covered much more ground than his rivals. So, again, keep those tweets coming. Also got an email here. Again, you can email us, mike@horseracingradio.net. And the email coming in that says, a couple for me, Songbird running easily and still a second faster than the boys,
and Wavell Avenue in the Philly Amer Sprint, off the pace when the speed was pretty good all day. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as far as the time thing, everybody made a big deal out of the time, but when you consider the ground that Nyquist covered, you know,
yeah,
if you compared their sheet numbers, I bet you they'd be pretty close. I don't know. Well, if anybody knows the sheet numbers,
yes,
send a tweet.
Songbird was more than a full second faster than Nyquist. She ran 142.73 for the mile and the 16th. Nyquist 143.79. And Mike Smith appeared with Anthony Stabile and Sean Morris on Express Bet Radio earlier this week, and he talked about Songbird and that huge victory in the Juvenile Fillies.
She's special, you know. She not only has the ability, she just has a brilliant mind to go along with it. You know, we've been blessed that she stayed sound, and she loves what she does. I mean, she loves to run, and she got that chance to do it on Saturday, and was extremely impressive in doing so. You saw on Saturday, I mean, I help her out of there for a jump or two, but I don't ever try to put her on the lead. She just winds up there, and she does it with ease. So it's just something that she's gifted with, to be honest with you. The Chandelier was actually one race where she did break a little slow. First time going long, she just took a step back just before they opened it and got away slow, but still was so talented. Within a matter of two jumps, she still made the lead. I certainly didn't try to put her on the lead either. That day really as well. If someone wanted to go, they'd just have to outfoot her, you know, but no one's so far been able to do that. And yet, you know, I'm sure there's some horses that probably could, but they'd have to just run them off their feet to probably do it. She's got just a tremendous high cruising speed.
Well, that high cruising speed leading her to a 5 3/4 length win in the Juvenile Fillies. And Mike kind of echoing the sentiments of Hall of Fame trainer Jerry Hollendorfer, who joined us earlier in the week on our Breeders' Cup Countdown show.
Yeah, well, she's a very, very nice filly. Amazing and so good looking. I mean,
yep.
You know,
spectacular.
She's beautiful, beautiful filly. I mean, reminds me of the same type of, that she doesn't look exactly like her, but she reminds me a lot of Beholder and in her ability and her style. You know, and I kind of made a joke that she looked like Miss Connecticut in a field of barflies when they came on the track. But it's actually true. I mean, she stood out in that field on looks. I mean, it was so evident. You know, she was like everybody's single. You know, it wasn't like, here's a cookie, you pick the 3-5 shot. But I mean, the thing about her is she's just outstanding looking, and then she has this tremendous ability. So not enough nice things to say about her.
Yeah, very impressive. And Anthony asked Mike a question after he finished that answer. And I don't know if I would have thought to ask this question at this point, at least not of the jockey, maybe of the trainer, Jerry Hollendorfer. But he asked him, because of the fact that she ran so much faster than the boys, what would Mike's thoughts be on potentially taking on the boys up the road as we move into her 3-year-old season? And here's what Mike had to say.
I wouldn't see why you wouldn't want to try it. I mean, I'd be all for it. She's the right size. She's not a little bitty, you know, kind of lanky little filly. She's tall. She's got a lot of flesh to her, a lot of muscle to her. She's actually probably bigger than most of the boys out there right now, to be honest with you. She's made that way. I noticed on Saturday there in the paddock, I was looking at the competition and size wise she towered over most of them. So she certainly got the build for it. If she can come back, you know, two turning three and show that same kind of ability that she showed as a 2-year-old, then I wouldn't see why you wouldn't give it a try, you know.
Well, there's the key, right? And much like we say with kids, girls typically develop faster than boys, right? Mentally, sometimes even physically. Well, same thing here. The fillies tend on several occasions to develop quicker than some of the males. And if she can continue this development from 2 turning 3, and these next few months are going to be huge, then she looks like she's going to be an absolute monster next year. But that's a big if.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's already partially the way there. And it's become more fashionable to run the fillies against the boys. Look at the success the fillies had against the boys on Breeders' Cup weekend.
Yeah.
And, of course, we got Beholder winning the Pacific Classic. And so it's not the taboo that it used to be in American racing. You know, it's very European to do that. But
even if they were thinking about maybe going to the Kentucky Derby and taking on the boys in the Derby, right, and trying to go that route, which with the new point system, you have to run and earn points against the boys in those points races, not against the girls.
Right. Well, maybe that's why Jerry Hollendorfer was a little reticent to say he was going to run in the Oaks when we interviewed him on the countdown shows.
Yeah.
Maybe he had the Derby in mind even back then. But he gave the standard trainer answer of, oh, well, we're just pointing to this race, you know, just like a football coach. Well, we got to get by the Vikings first, you know. I mean, it's just the way that it goes. But maybe that's been in the plan. We'll have to see.
Well, speaking of the Derby, Nyquist winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile for trainer Doug O'Neill, ultra impressive. He is by far the leader in the clubhouse in terms of those point standings right now. And in case you're wondering how that stacks up at this point, Nyquist with 30 points, Brody's Cause in second with 14 points. Then you have Swipe, who, again, just can't get past his rival Nyquist, at least not yet. He's in the third position with 12 Derby points. Greenpoint Crusader with 10, and Cocked and Loaded also sitting with 10 points. And that is how the top five rounds out with 182 days, 8 hours, 43 minutes, and 18 seconds until the run for the roses.
Get your future book bets down.
Can you tell I'm already fired up? The road to the Derby starts now on HRN.
Wow.
How about that?
We haven't even gotten to the Claiming Crown yet.
Now, speaking of Claiming Crown, that's all presented. Our coverage of the Claiming Crown at Gulfstream, presented by Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. And when we come back from our next break, we're going to hear from Ken Ramsey as he caught up with Sean Clancy after Stephanie's Kitten won the Filly and Mare Turf. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Introducing the Spendthrift for 2016 Palace, the multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire and fastest son of leading sire City Zip. Palace proved to be a leading sprinter in North America in 2014 and 2015, winning such New York staples as the Grade 1 Forgo Stakes, Grade 1 Vanderbilt Stakes, and Grade 2 True North Stakes. Palace is set to retire at season's end to Spendthrift. For more information on Palace, call us toll free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick 4. You hear him on HRRN Radio. Now get his personal selections directly from him at his new site, PopeJude.com. Every analysis sheet at PopeJude.com has his personal selections and insights. Each page is a handicapping lesson packed with years of racing knowledge, coupled with insider information gleaned from the pontiff's countless connections in thoroughbred racing. Whether you're looking for another set of eyes on the past performances or inspired racing analysis to assault the windows, PopeJude.com is the site for you.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
HRRN's newest show is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, Mike Penna and Christina McManigal will bring you exclusive interviews with the best jockeys in the business. Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on Sirius 220 and XM 206. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Stephanie's Kitten, who moves against the rail, 7 lengths off the lead, but Secret Gesture still the leader from Photo Call top of the stretch with Sentiero Italia third. Now Legatissimo is changing lanes, has to go to the outside. Here comes Sentiero Italia as well. Stephanie's Kitten is still fifth. Here's Photo Call right alongside of Secret Gesture. Stephanie's Kitten runs late toward the inside and finds an opening there. And Legatissimo on the outside, but Stephanie's Kitten bursting through an opening to the lead from Legatissimo. Stephanie's Kitten and Irad Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. Legatissimo was second across the line in 1 minute 56 and 1/5 seconds.
Mike Penn and Jude Feld back with you on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And even though the Breeders' Cup may be finished, we certainly are not. Our coverage continues. You're going to hear races later on this month, like the Fabulous Strike Handicap at Penn National. You're going to hear the Zia Park Land of Enchantment Day races with us, and you're going to hear the Cigar Mile coming up toward the end of the month as well, before we head back down to Gulfstream Park for all of that Claiming Crown coverage the first Saturday in December. It is opening weekend of the championship meet, and we're going to be there to bring you all of that coverage presented by Kitten's Joy standing at Ramsey Farm. Make sure you go to horseracingradio.net for a complete broadcast schedule. You know, as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires. Like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a grade one winning two-year-old and classic winning three-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and two-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, simply visit lanesend.com. Well, you heard that call coming out of the break. Stephanie's Kitten winning the Filly and Mare Turf. And right after the race, Sean Clancy caught up with Ken Ramsey.
I'm right here with the Ramsey. Mr. Ramsey, what a performance by your grand old mare.
I don't have any words to describe it. I'm ecstatic. Unbelievable. From last to first, her swan song. Oh, gee.
She's been so good to you. What's it mean for her to win like that?
Well, it means I'm almost regretting about having to sell her tomorrow.
You can always scratch her.
I guess I could scratch, but too late now. Oh, what a performance from last to first. The whole world watching that. It's great for the stallion. It's great for the family, you know, Stephanie and all that. There'll be tears streaming down her eyes. I'm a little emotional myself.
That's Ken Ramsey. What a performance.
Yeah, what a performance, and what an emotional moment for Ken. He told us during the week on our Breeders' Cup Countdown show how much this filly meant to him and to his family, and of course named after his granddaughter, Stephanie. A very emotional moment after the win.
Yeah, and I guess he didn't sell her after all.
Yeah, I guess. Do you think maybe the reserve went up a little bit after that win?
Yeah, that would have been a tough one. I mean, a horse like her, that they bred, that they owned the sire and the grandsire. That would be tough to part with her, I think. You know, but money's money. But I and it costs a lot to keep a farm afloat, but I don't think Mr. Ramsey's down to his last two camels.
No, probably not. And, you know, but you realize with all the success he's had in the game that you still become very attached to so many horses, not only as stallions or mares or as the racing for you. It doesn't really matter. Once a horse gets hooked or you get hooked on a horse, you just fall in love.
Yeah. Well, that's a very, very special mare, and she's done a lot of great things. She's really a jewel. So,
one other clip from a post-race interview with Sean Clancy. It was after the Breeders' Cup sprint and that huge performance by Run Happy.
I'm here with the great Cordell Anderson. You've led up a lot of horses. Tell me about this one.
Oh, this one is special. This is special horse. This is a super horse. This horse, I've been with him since last October, and he's one of the best I've been with. He's one of the best. Simple.
Describe your relationship with him.
We're about like, not talking about the hand part of Farlap, but we're about like Farlap. We walk through a field and go and swim, and I'll let him eat. Only thing, I don't have a sandy beach, but I have a big grass area.
You've been in this game a long time. This has got to be the highlight.
Oh, this top it off. Let's stop it off because I know I'm getting paid, too. My boss is taking care of me.
That's Cordell Anderson, one of the greats. He's led up a lot of horses in the sales ring, and here he is with the Breeders' Cup champion.
Cordell Anderson, part of that team with trainer Maria Burrell, and Run Happy getting the victory in the Breeders' Cup sprint. And how often do you get a Farlap reference after a big win like that, especially a sprint race?
No, very rare.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it was really good. Really cool.
So happy for Cordell. And if you see the pictures of the Keeneland sales and so many of those million-dollar horses that are sold at Keeneland, so often you see Cordell in the picture holding that horse in the ring, and this is a very special moment for him.
Yeah, excellent. Richly deserved, and that horse is really something else.
Yeah, of course, the controversy coming out afterward, James McInvale, and the owner of Run Happy, and of course the racing manager, Laura Wallers, coming out and saying, hey, you know what? We're going to pull the horse from Maria Burrell, and we're going to either train it ourselves or give it to somebody else. And we talk about karma all the time, Jude. This is horrible karma. If you can get fired after winning five consecutive races, including the Breeders' Cup sprint, anybody can get fired.
Yeah, well, you know, I tweeted out earlier this week that the late Eddie Gregson said there's only two kinds of trainers, those that have been fired and those that are going to get fired. So get used to it, Maria. It's just the breaks of the game. But it's not, you know, it wasn't cool because, you know, they didn't even give it a rest. They could have, you know, waited a week or something and
Right. Let
all the dust settle down, but it's just brutal.
Yeah, and all because of the decision not to send the horse to the track the next day.
Yeah.
Right? He just ran 108 and change and set a new track record in the Breeders' Cup sprint. And Maria said, nah, we want to give him a little bit of a rest. There's some things here that just don't seem right. And, you know, unfortunately, they disagreed and decided to pull the horse from her.
Why would you want to send a horse to the track the next day?
It makes no sense.
Zero.
No
sense.
Absolutely
zero.
No sense.
Yeah.
No. You know, and it speaks to a bigger issue with the sport, too. Even in the light of a great moment like that, winning the Breeders' Cup sprint, we still find a way to fight with each other internally. Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you
I
know,
mean,
the,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. The saying goes that horse racing can't even decide whether it's one word or two words.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, it's a very sad situation, and we certainly feel for Maria Burrell, and the way this whole thing came together certainly doesn't leave a good taste in your mouth when it comes to owner James McInvale by any stretch of the imagination here, and certainly his racing manager as well. Hour number two coming up, we'll continue to look back on the Breeders' Cup. We will do it with some live interviews here on the program. Mark Cassie set to join us in a couple of moments. Shannon Potter from Town and Country Farm, the owners of Distaff winner Stop Charging Maria, is going to be in studio with us. And then trainer Doug O'Neill at the end of the second half of the program. We'll get to it next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel's Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop
charging. Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Pena and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of this post-Breeders' Cup edition of the Equine Forum. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch. Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. And we are with you in our Lexington studios, wrapping up the 2015 edition of the Breeders' Cup World Championships. So many special moments. We've been asking you throughout the program to tweet to us or to hit us up on Facebook with the moment you thought was the singular most impressive of any of the races, and so many people have done that. We've received several responses. Liam's Map was kind of the leader in the clubhouse early because of that trouble that he overcame in winning the Dirt Mile. American Pharoah and Teppan getting some votes now. Teppan from another tweet also getting another vote there. Mark Cassie, after going 0 for all these years, winning not one but two Breeders' Cup races over both days, and then another vote for Teppan. And that's appropriate because Mark Cassie's going to join us here in just a moment.
Yeah, well, it was a great day for Mark Cassie. No question about it.
Well, for those who tuned into our Breeders' Cup countdown shows throughout the week, you know we had a chance to visit with Mark earlier before all of this Breeders' Cup success. And this is the way that interview began. And Jude, you know, you and I were talking yesterday how surprised we were to learn as we were doing some research for the shows that Mark Cassie, despite all of his success, is still looking for his first win in the Breeders' Cup. And Mark, I have to tell you, blows my mind, because when I thought of Mark Cassie, I said, well, I'm going to find a couple of winners here in the Breeders' Cup. Still looking for that first one. That's incredible.
You know, you're the first person that brought it up.
Of course, yeah. And the first thing I opened with, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean.
You want me to hold him and you can hit him?
I say it.
I mean, come on.
No, wait.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. You go run the guy down, and then you start with that? Unbelievable.
And you wonder why I don't show up.
Well, I can tell you that this interview this morning is going to start much differently, because Mark Cassie is now a two-time Breeders' Cup winning trainer, and he joins us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, congratulations, my friend.
Morning, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, happy to have you with us, and boy, what a tremendous couple of days here in Lexington.
Yeah, it still amazes me.
Are you still on cloud nine?
Yeah, for sure. I still don't think my voice is completely back.
Yeah, you can kind of tell it's a little scratchy. I mean, unbelievable day. I mean, just awesome, huh?
It was, and then, I mean, you know, catch a glimpse. She did what I thought she could do, but honestly, for Teppan to be able to win with the ease that she won, you know, against the field she beat, you know, still amazes me.
You know, Sean Clancy was helping out with the coverage this past weekend, as he does, and he caught up with Norm after that huge win by Teppan in the Breeders' Cup Mile. And Norm was much more emotional than he was even after Catch a Glimpse. And he said, you know, this was the one that we really wanted. How come?
You know, maybe because we've had her for so long, and we've seen her kind of grow into what she's become. You know, it wasn't like she was some superstar in the beginning. Maybe that's it. You know, we've trained a few horse of the years, and we've trained lots of champions in Canada, but for us, we've never trained an Eclipse Award winner. And I think she made herself the Eclipse Award winner when she won on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment. I mean, the two races she ran at Keeneland were just off the hook. I mean, I don't think a horse could run any better than she did in those two starts.
No, and you know, it's been said that, you know, it's between her and Stephanie's Kitten. But what a couple things that amaze me is, one, she's been good all year long. She's ran... Her last six buyers have been triple figures. She did it at, you know, she did it at Gulfstream. I mean, she didn't triple figure at Gulfstream, but her first start back, she won at Gulfstream. She won at Churchill. She won at Belmont. She got beat twice by noses at Saratoga. And then for her to win at Keeneland, I mean, you know, I'm not so sure. She definitely loves Keeneland's racetrack. But, you know, what's amazing is she's just gotten bigger and stronger. Even her Bat Masterson, her owner, when he saw her, he wasn't there for the first lady, but was at the Breeders' Cup, and he goes, I can't believe how big she's gotten. And she's just, you know, she's just gotten bigger and stronger, and she's running faster and faster.
Mark, every time we talk about this filly with you, it seems like you are just in awe of everything that she's been able to accomplish. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't think anybody could predict what she was going to do. But you know what, Mike, I'm a big confidence believer, and she's got a lot of confidence. You know, she has a lot of confidence now, and the thing that makes her so great is the rider, and Julian does a super, super job with her, but what makes her so great is her ability to adapt. You know, she can be on the lead, you know, if you want her on the lead, if there's no speed, or she'll sit off it. I think you and I, maybe we got, all of us talked about it, about looked like there was going to be some serious speed in the mile, and I just smiled because it really doesn't matter to us. It doesn't matter to Teppan. You know, if they want to go really fast, she'll sit back and wait for them to stop. Or if they're not running fast enough, she can be right there. And you know, the fractions were kind of just mild the other day, and she was able to track and then kick away. And yeah, I've watched the replay a few times, and when she kicked away the way she did, at about the 3/16th bowl, I guess it was, I said, you think to yourself, and those are the best horses in the world? And she's able to do that, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that was a stellar field of horses, and she just made mincemeat out of them. I mean, she wins those turf races by big margins too, which that doesn't happen in turf racing, really. They're usually, you know, pretty bunched up at the finish. And she just blows the fields away. I mean, at least she did at Keeneland. Totally awesome.
Yeah, I agree. You know, normally, you just don't see turf margins like that. You don't. It's not easy to see one can run that consistently and win, you know, run so well consistently. We all know that in a lot of turf races, a lot of horses get in trouble. And it's the trip. But like I said, I think one of the things that makes her so great is her ability to adapt and for the rider to be able to position her, Julian, to position her wherever she needs to be.
Mark, I think we touched on this earlier in the week as well, but you look back on where she was last August. She finishes eighth, gets beaten 10 lengths in the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. You bring her back here in March of this year, and she rattles off 4 of 6 race, well, now 5 of 7 victories, 3 of those coming in Grade 1s. You mentioned the 2 seconds where she was beaten a Zop, both at Saratoga. What was the key to the turnaround here in 2015?
Well, one, she just, nothing really went right for her in 2014. That last start really is, she's only really had 2 bad races in her life. And that was when we ran her at Pimlico on the dirt going 3/4 of a mile. And you know what? That was we had entered her in an allowance race at Churchill and she didn't get in and there was nowhere to run her. And so Robert was going to be at the Preakness. And so we sent her over there and she just didn't run a lick. And then her last California race where she got beat 10 lengths, something happened to her. We don't know exactly what, but it was a little warm and she overheated or something because she was wobbly legged after the race, acted like she was going to have heat stroke. And that's when, you know, Mr. Masterson and I talked about it and we sent her home. Just gave her a month or so back, gave her off, and then we sent her to South Florida. But I have to tell you, if you go back and watch her performance, even at Gulfstream, when she won the allowance race. It was a nice field, and she just overpowered them with ease. That's when I started having the confidence that I had in her, because as I think I told you guys before, before church, the race Derby Day, I said to a few people, I said, I'm not afraid of anybody, no filly. I think this filly can run with any of them. And that's kind of when she started, you know, her streak.
Well, she's done everything you've asked. Would you say now that she really doesn't particularly care for Saratoga?
She still ran great. Yeah,
well, you know how people get. Horse loses twice and go, oh, she doesn't like Saratoga.
Mark, if she doesn't care for Saratoga and that's the result.
Let's put it this way. If everything lined up, would we try Saratoga? Hell yeah. we're not ones to run from a challenge. If it worked, I would be very, very hesitant to ever run her again, you know, over maybe at the farthest a mile on the 16th. I don't know that I would do that to her.
So I guess
I also would be, I'd also be very hesitant to run her on an extremely hot day. She loves cold weather. There's no doubt in my mind she loves cold weather.
So I guess you'll plan on bringing her back next year for a five-year-old campaign?
That's the plan. She, you know, she, what was amazing of all our Breeders' Cup horses, I would say the next morning she had, you know, she recovered easily. I was watching the NBC telecast. When you're in all this and it's going on, there's never any time to really enjoy it and to analyze things. So, you know, just in the last couple of days, I watched the NBC telecast and whatever. What amazed me is when Donna Barton was up talking to Donna Brothers, I should say. Donna Barton was her a long time ago. That's when she rode horses for me. Donna Brothers, when she was interviewing Julian after the race, it amazed me to look at Teppan and to see how quickly she recovered. If you look at her nostrils, they were barely flaring after the race, which she had recovered very quickly because she's usually a pretty heavy breather. And it was amazing how easy she did it. So, yes, the plan is to run her in 2016. I would say right now our goal would be to be back Derby Day and try to defend her crown there.
Mark Cassie joining us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, you mentioned earlier about wanting to train that Eclipse Award winner, and Teppan certainly could be the one in that division, but Catch a Glimpse, after winning the Juvenile Fillies Turf, you might end up with two of them this year.
Well, I can't be, you know, there, obviously nobody's going to beat Jerry's filly. She's going to be a well-deserving champion. I'd love to see Catch a Glimpse just be in the final three.
Yeah.
Now, Catch a Glimpse has a very good chance to be Horse of the Year in Canada, I believe. So that would be a nice feather in her cap. She's definitely going to win the Sovereign Award for Champion two-year-old filly in Canada, and she's got a shot to be Horse of the Year there. The best we can hope for in the U.S. is for her to be in the final three.
We were all afraid of Ruby Notion in a pace duel, but...
So was I. Well, we were. So was I.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You, me, we talked about it before the race, and then afterwards I said, Cassie kind of cold watered us there with the Ruby Notion idea. But, you know, I mean, she ran as good as a filly could run. I mean, that was a very impressive performance.
Wait a second. I didn't cold water you. she's going into the first turn. I mean, luckily, and that's what we were hoping for, was that filly would just go ahead and clear and we could sit off of her. But it was a little dicey in the first turn. But what was nice was that our filly could show that she could overcome something like that and still be able to win. She's another horse. She's just kind of getting it all together. That filly has no give up in her, and she will go and go and go. You know, she's still jumping to she's still jumping to her wrong lead at the, you know, the wrong time. And I think as she gets, you know, older and better, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Talk about Florent Giroux a minute, and what a great rider he is.
It's funny, you know, we had six Breeders' Cup horses, and I think we had six different riders. But, it's just funny how things happen. Initially, Patrick Husbands was – Jesse Campbell had ridden Catch a Glimpse in the Natalma Prep, and in fairness to Jesse, he had to ride a filly called Karen, or I think something like that, who just won a big race the other day. So I kind of just took it that he was going to ride her, and they came to me and said, no, they weren't available. And don't you know, Patrick Husbands had given away a call on some horse shipping in from New York the day before. So his agent said to me about Flo, he said, would you like to use him? And I said, of course. And that was about the time when he had started just taking off at Kentucky Downs too. And, we were lucky to get him because he fits this filly nicely. And I have to tell you, he had a lot of confidence in her. He told me, we had a conversation a couple weeks before the Breeders' Cup. He said, there's nobody's going to beat her. You know?
Well, that's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, and he was right.
Love when that happens.
Yeah, he was right. Mark, the minute I sent out our newsletter yesterday afternoon and mentioned that you were going to be joining us on the program this morning, we received an email from a listener who was asking about Conquest Enforcer. What can you tell us about Conquest Enforcer?
He's good. He actually just getting to the farm this morning. He could be a real superstar. I mean, this horse has shown more raw ability than probably anybody that we've ever had. Interesting, about 2 months ago, Patrick Husband's working for us. Maybe it was a little longer than that. And he told me, he said, boss, he said, this is one of the best horses you've ever trained and one of the best horses I've ever ridden. This was before he ever started. And, then he worked him again a couple weeks later, and he said to me, he goes, this is the best horse I've ever sat on. And, I mean, Patrick Husbands has ridden a lot of good horses. But, again, Patrick Husbands could have had two horses at the Breeders' Cup, and he ended up with none because we ended up running Conquest Enforcer in the summer as a first-time starter, and there was some give in the ground. And he, you know, Patrick would have been on Conquest Daddy-O instead, and instead he rode Enforcer, and we know Daddy-O won and he got tired, but his performance, he won the Conquest Enforcer about 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, won the Cup and Saucer in just a gallop. He got stopped for probably 16th of a mile, and when he was able to open up, he just ran a big number. I think he ran an 85 buyer, but our plan is to I've been told by Ernie that I'm not allowed to run him on the dirt. Ernie Samirsky, the owner of Conquest, he said, don't run him on the dirt. So we're just going to try to figure out, we're going to, you know, aim for the Queen's Plate with him. He's a Canadian bred, and probably you'll see him show up sometime about the latter part of February, middle of March, in a turf race somewhere in Florida.
Well, I guess this listener might be crying right now because, according to them, they took Conquest Enforcer at 125-1 in the future book in Vegas. So, Mark, I think you might have just shattered a few dreams.
If they want to see him in the Derby, they better email Conquest. I've been told I'm not allowed to do that.
Well, Mark, as always, we appreciate the time. Congratulations again on the Breeders' Cup victories, and all the best moving forward. We'll look forward to catching up with you up the road, too.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, Mark.
Bye, guys.
Here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift. He has plenty of those, but we're going to send him more. a gift from Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at Embrace the Race. www.thehorseracing.com. Shannon Potter is in studio with us. He's going to join us right after our next commercial break to look back on that huge Breeders' Cup Distaff win by Stop Charging Maria. But before we do that, we are going to mention that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a grade one winning two-year-old and classic winning three-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and two-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more, just visit lanesend.com. We're back with Shannon Potter right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
And they're off to New York, the premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program, the best program.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Kitten's Joy.
Big blue kitten wins the United Nations for the second time in 3 years.
A champion sire.
And Stephanie's kitten has won the Flower Bowl.
The number one turf sire in America.
Bobby's kitten like a rocket out of nowhere.
Kitten's Joy, one of the premier stallions in North America, continues to produce young rising stars, including impressive debut winner Camelot Kitten, a full brother to Breeders' Cup winner Bobby's Kitten. Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm.
Don't miss Penn National's Holiday Racing Festival on Wednesday night, November 25th, when the legendary millionaire Ben's Cat tries to win his fourth consecutive running of the six-furlong, $200,000 Fabulous Strike Stakes. But it won't be easy, as his talented competition will be led by Favorite Tail, fresh off a sharp third-place finish in the $1 million Breeders' Cup Sprint. Post time for the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival is 6 p.m.
Power.
Caracol D, the favorite in front. The Spaniard News of Canarias is fighting back. Caracol D has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Caracol D winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caracol D with a rush on the outside goes Bantam. Lead run from Adam Dahl. Caracol D and O'Dahl. Caracol D.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple group and grade one winner, Caracanti. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Caracanti won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Caracanti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel's Valentina is in second.
but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird.
Songbird remained unbeaten with a dominating wire-to-wire win in the $2 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Despite breaking from the far outside post position number 10, the daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro took command early and rolled to a widening 5 3/4 length victory. Her powerful score in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Songbird remained unbeaten with a dominating wire-to-wire win in the $2 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Despite breaking from the far outside post position number 10, the daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro took command early and rolled to a widening 5 3/4 length victory. Her powerful score in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Stop charging Maria. Far outside goes third. Wedding Toast now picks it up fourth. Stellar Wind angles wide in the fifth position. Carolina sixth. Sheer Drama seventh. Frivolous goes to the grandstand side in eighth. Got Lucky has a ways to come. Has to go very wide in the stretch. It's wide open. Stellar Wind, Stop Charging Maria going at it for the top spot. Moving by the eighth pole. Yah Hillwood next. Calamity Kate toward the inside. Sheer Drama is fifth. Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff for Javier Castellano in 1:48 4/5 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Lexington studios, joined now by Shannon Potter, who is with Town and Country Farms, the owners of Breeders' Cup Distaff winner Stop Charging Maria. Kurt Becker had that call, and as you heard him say, Shannon, she just kept battling on. She would not be denied this victory.
Yeah, she could have ran around there a couple more times, and I don't, you know, if you watch the gallop out, she wasn't letting anyone pass her. So it was quite cool and an awesome experience. So
tell me about watching the race.
It was, you know, basically the most exciting thing that's probably ever happened to me in the horse business and in my professional career. So, you know, sitting there with Kiki, you know, Mrs. Cortella, she was actually in the winner's circle watching the race from the rail, because that's where her spot is, I guess is what you would say. She loves to sit and watch the races from the rail. But just being there, you know, with Kiki and watching her face and my face all at the same time, it was a surreal experience, you know, super exciting. I mean, you thought that she had a shot to get there at the head of the lane, and then you see just a, you know, a giant wall of horses coming. It almost looked like a derby scene, as many horses that were in the race. And when they got to the top, you know, they were all kind of just scattered all the way across, and seeing her peek her head out, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was my favorite picture, is that one turn for home. It's like a classic photo that you see of a lot of horse races, but you know, you could see she was asserting herself, and the rest of the field was in the wake, so to speak. So it was a pretty cool, very, very cool experience.
And Stellar Wind didn't make it easy on her.
No.
Right? She had to battle.
No, not at all.
No, she battled, and you know, I know they had a little bumping going down through there a little bit, but like I said, it was just, you know, a little bit of race riding. So she definitely gave us all she had, and Carolina ran a huge race coming up the rail. You know, you saw her coming. So it was just a very good race with a bunch of talented fillies in there.
Tell me what it means for a farm like Town and Country to have a Distaff winner, a Breeders' Cup winner, and a winner of this caliber.
Well, you kind of got to understand how young the whole racing operation is at Town and Country. It's kind of a blessing, you know. You know, sometimes we don't realize that blessings are right in front of us, and it totally was. You know, Miss Cortez would tell you that, you know, she prays about this horse all the time and every one of her horses. And just to be a part of something that big in, you know, your own hometown is, you know, amazing in itself. But, you know, they, like I said, they don't have too many horses in training, and it's their first Breeders' Cup, you know, ever. They've never had a horse run in the Breeders' Cup. And then to have it happen at Kingland and just, you know, at Mrs. Cortellis's age, to have something like that happen was, you know, straight blessing, to be honest with you.
Talk about the operation itself and you know, how it got started and where you think you're headed.
Well, Mrs. Cortellis and Kiki were basically, they had a lot of Arabian horses before they got into the thoroughbred business in Florida. And then, you know, they got into the thoroughbred game by buying some mares, some brood mares, and they came to Kentucky. They basically tried to do it in Florida a little bit, and then they decided to move to Kentucky and move all, the whole operation to Kentucky. And since then, we've been adding to the broodmare band, trying to get one of the top broodmare bands to be a commercial breeding farm. And while we were doing that, you know, we saw that, look, we've got some of these good horses. We might as well keep some of them if they have, you know, maybe a little issue or something, you know, they don't bring as much money as we kind of think they're worth. We might as well start the racing game. And the Cortellis ladies like the racing end. You know, it's exciting. It's happening, you know. So we decided to go full in and try to buy, you know, a couple, maybe off the track, maybe, you know, breed some of our own. And, you know, while we were looking to add to the broodmare band, we thought, you know, why not, if we could find a race filly that looked like she could go on and have fun for the next couple of years, why not try to, you know, find one of those that would automatically maybe go into the broodmare band at some point in time. And that's how Maria came along. So
it's probably safe to say that she will be in the broodmare band, not just maybe now.
Well, those are decisions that will be made at some later point in time. But, you know, I can report that she's been all checked out this week, and she got sent through the scanner, x-rayed, all that good stuff. And she is, she's been given a clean bill of health and, good to go.
Fantastic. So what's the plan with her now? Where will she go?
She will go back to the farm for 60 days. She'll get a lot of R&R, and a lot of Miss C will treat her like she's royalty over there at the farm, like she does all our horses, which is kind of like, it's a funny thing that I say that. You got to understand her, like, daily routine. Miss Cortellis, you know, she's a young at heart lady, and something you can appreciate, Jude, for sure. she wakes up every day, you know, and gives her blessings to the Lord, and takes off in her van with her dogs on the farm, and goes and checks on every one of her horses every morning. And she's up there, and she'll feed Maria every morning. She'll, you know, if you're a horse in that barn, you get the top end treatment. So
first class all the way.
Yes. Yeah. So after she'll spend 60 days there at the farm, she'll take off and go, back to Todd, back to Florida. And then we'll just gear up and get her ready. The goal is right now to, try the Madison here at Kingland, shorten up a little bit. She ran in it last year, kind of use it as a stepping stone to, get her ready for a good campaign next year.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, at least from a wagering perspective, when she won the Breeders' Cup Distaff, because she wasn't among the top couple of favorites in there. And you look back on her career, Shannon, you told the story of how she came into the Town and Country family. But you look back, she runs last year in April in the Grade 3 Fantasy at Oaklawn. She finishes fourth. Then she comes back in the Black Eyed Susan and wins that race at Pimlico. She comes back after that to win back-to-back grade ones with the Coaching Club American Oaks in the Alabama at Saratoga, runs second in the Beldame, comes back as a four-year-old, and starts things off at Keeneland in the grade one Madison. That's a sprint race. She's second that day. Then she comes back and wins back-to-back grade threes and finishes fourth in the personal ensign before winning the Breeders' Cup Distaff. So I guess when you look at it that way, you can see maybe why she was overlooked by the wagering public. But you look at her consistency that she displayed throughout her entire career. It's remarkable. She's always right there.
Well, you know, Todd, Todd said it best. She's a very easy read kind of horse. And, you know, the more time that she has off to get ready for the next race, the better off she is. And if you look at her form, if you give her those extra couple of weeks to get her ready for a race, that's when she really puts in a big performance. And, you know, the numbers, as you can see, she ran her big number in the grade three Chuvee at Saratoga. You know, that was when she had a big number because she had a little bit of a layoff ready to run. And then we ran her back probably a little bit too quick in the 3 weeks off going into the personal ensign. That was a little quick. So,
And she got a horrible ride. Let's call him as we've seen. That was a horrible ride.
It was very hard to battle all the way around there. No doubt.
Johnny Velasquez and Javier Castellano going head and head like a couple of bug boys in a 12-5 claimer at Laurel. I just go, what is going on here? She had never made the lead in her life, right? And no. You got two guys that are arguably the best jockeys in the United States, and they just threw caution to the wind like they had a horse-for-horse bet for a Coke. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
And they got Jersey Joe sitting right in the driver's seat behind him.
There you go. Setting it up for Jersey Joe. Thank you very much.
waiting to roll with sheer drama around us. So,
unbelievable.
But you know, with all that said, Javier did give her a really, really good ride in the Breeders' Cup.
Absolutely. He learned something. That's why you don't take jocks off when they make a mistake. Right. You hope to God that they learn something along the way. And he did. He gave her the perfect trip. It was, as I was watching the race, it was just like I envisioned it in my head. Like if I was going to ride that horse, where I would put her. And unfortunately,
thankfully he wasn't riding
thank
the horse.
God. But, but you know, you asked me the morning of the race, you know, where, how do you see it? I said, I think she'll be fifth, you know, like fourth or fifth is where, and she was. And when they turned down the backside, I said, this filly's going to be right there. I just knew she was getting the trip that she needed, and it was perfect.
Well, right before the race, we're standing in the paddock, and Javi comes up, and he starts telling me, I mean, right from the get-go, as soon as I see him, he says, okay, we're going to be sitting right off, hopefully right off the pace. You know, I see a lot of speed in the race. I think we'll be right off. All I want to know is where Wedding Toast is. That's what he told me. And he said, I'm going to set right off of Wedding Toast, and Wedding Toast went. Everyone went. He got to set, you know, going into the first turn was arguably might have been where he won the race because he got to set right off of him in fourth, right on the rail, and got to see everything that was going on in front of him. And, you know, when he was coming for home, he said, I knew I had enough horse. He said, it was just making sure that we got the right trip. And even though he had to go, I would say it was somewhere around eight wide, nine wide, could have been more than that, you know, but he said when we had to go that wide, he said I knew I had enough horse. It was just getting, you know, the perfect shot to shoot out. So, and he did, and it was a great ride by him.
Yeah. Well, the first time's the charm for Town and Country, and Stop Charging Maria as she wins the Breeders' Cup Distaff last Friday. Also the second win in the race for trainer Todd Pletcher after saddling a Shadow to the victory in 2004. So a big win there. And Shannon, like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Shannon, we'll get that to you. And again, congratulations and congratulate everybody at Town and Country. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, Shannon Potter here on HRN. Doug O'Neill coming up next from California. He'll look back on the huge win by Nyquist in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. We'll do that next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Trainer Doug O'Neill, I talked to your assistant. He said you guys knew him from day one.
Well, he's a special.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family owned and operated and offers top quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
Stop charging. Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is Jackie Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Cocked and Loaded moves up to the outside to challenge Riker for the lead as they come by the quarter pole. Unbridled Outlaw third, Nyquist is fourth, Exaggerator fifth, Conquest Big E sixth, Swipe is a wide seventh, off the far turn. Riker the leader, Cocked and Loaded, Nyquist tries to join them, Swipe out in the center of the track, Exaggerator back toward the inside, Nyquist keeps striding forward in the final furlong. He has taken the lead. Swipe moves up behind him toward the outside. Late run from Brody's Cause, but still fifth. It's Nyquist with the lead. Nyquist in front, chased by Swipe. Nyquist to take it. Swipe was home second. Brody's Cause rallied up for third on the outside. Exaggerator was home fourth.
Well, it's not quite affirmed in Alidar just yet, but Nyquist and Swipe have quite the little rivalry going on, as Nyquist has now won four consecutive races over his rival Swipe, and he's won five in a row with that victory in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He is, of course, trained by Doug O'Neill, who joins us now from California here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Doug, first of all, congratulations on the huge win.
Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time here this morning. And they said that he couldn't win from the outside post position. They were wrong.
Well, yeah, you know, a good horse can do special things. And we put on a happy face when we got post 13, but deep down we were all a little depressed about it. But that just shows you how brilliant of a horse he is, how much confidence Mario had in him to ride him the way he did. And that horse just, he wants to beat you.
He put in an awesome performance, and you know, people have been making a big deal out of the time difference between him and Songbird, but he covered so much more ground. I know you got a lot of sharp guys that work for you and want to give you advice, but do you know what the sheet numbers were by any chance of those two-year-olds?
They both, yeah, Songbird and Nyquist got the same sheet number. They both got sevens, and you know, the buyers, Songbird got a 99 and Nyquist got an 89. So it goes to show how the sheets do take in loss of ground and other, you know, areas that, you know, will make a horse run a little faster, a little slower. So I completely agree with you, Jude. I think we read where he lost like eight lengths, or he traveled eight lengths farther than Songbird. So, you know, kind of good talking stuff.
What makes this horse so special, Doug?
I think it is just that desire to win. And you know, it's nothing you can train. It's nothing you can feed. It's nothing, you know, they just, when you get a special horse like that, you just want to try to keep them injury free. And you know, when you lead them over there, they're going to give you 100%. And I truly thought, you know, his main asset was his speed and stamina, and to see him go wide and come from off the pace, that's a whole new angle that he showed all of us, and it's pretty darn exciting.
A lot of people were a little bit down on him, not just for the post position, but the fact that he didn't have like a big winning margin in his prep race, and you know, they were wondering how far he could go and all that stuff. How much confidence did you have going in aside from the post position?
Well, that's a good question. I think on the face of it, I was pretty confident. We were all pretty confident. But I think, you know, we were all a little had those same apprehensions of, you know, that race, the front runner was coming back fairly quick, and he kind of ran off a little bit on Mario in the first turn. And so we really justified why the winning margin wasn't farther and why the numbers weren't faster and all that stuff. And, you know, having an additional week, I think we had 5 weeks from there to the Breeders' Cup, we thought was definitely a bonus. And he was training really good. But, you know, we didn't ask him for a lot of speed in the morning. So that's where you just got to go with confidence, because, you know, you let him rip around there and it you see confidence with your own eyes. But the way we kind of brought him into the race, it was more the confidence was deep down, and we were just going to continue to train him the way we had going into his previous four races. And by God, it works.
Moving forward, are you anxious to see if he continues this ability to rate down the road as you head toward the Triple Crown?
Oh, big time, big time. You know, and I mean, it's as the field get larger and as post positions become, you know, you just the luck of the draw or unluck of the draw, having that ability to call an audible and come from off the pace is huge. And the great thing with him is if he does draw on the inside of a large field, he's got enough speed to kind of keep clear of a ton of kickback. I don't think kickback will bother him, but you can't tell me there's horses out there that like kickback. So I think the less kickback, the better. But he's got that enough gate speed to stay clear of that in a larger field if he draws the inside and there's a lot of speed outside of him. So, yeah, I think the big thing now is just praying to the horse gods to keep him injury-free, and hopefully, you know, we just have a huge three-year-old run with him, and that's what we're looking forward to.
Talking with trainer Doug O'Neill on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Doug, you've had success in the Triple Crown races, specifically with I'll Have Another. So as you get ready to go down that road again with Nyquist, are there things that you have learned that have helped you have that success over the years that you'll probably try to employ with a horse like Nyquist as you get him ready?
Well, I think unintentionally, because it was kind of our first real go with I'll Have Another, we brought him into the Derby a real fresh horse, and I think it really helped us be successful there, and then the Preakness, and then we just got bit by the injury bug the next one. But I think having a fresh horse for the Derby is key, and now with the fortunate season Nyquist has had, we're able to only maybe give him a couple starts between now and the Derby, which will hopefully have a nice, strong, fresh horse going into it. And if we get lucky there, we'll have that energy that we would need to go in the next couple.
I know you've got your comeback spot picked out? Where can we see him the next time?
We really don't, actually. You know,
really? Yeah, really, you haven't don't. Thought about I, it I, at
didn't,
all.
Didn't Jude teach you anything?
You know, we've been in cloud nine. You know, ever since the win, and you know, we've had a few group meetings where, you know, we'll talk about, you know, let's just keep them at Sandita and run into preps there, and then, you know, we'll jump into let's go to Oaklawn and run there, and let's go to Sunland Park Derby and run there. So. It's fun to talk about, and I think the one thing we learned the other day with Nyquist is that he shipped as well as a horse could ship. I mean, you would have thought he was stable at Keeneland for months, let alone, you know, or instead of just a few days. So that is huge, knowing that. And, you know, any horse that can, you know, travel like that and keep their form is, it's a huge asset. So, but as it stands, I think we're only looking to have two preps between now and the Derby.
Rogers Beasley and Ben Huffman would probably have me assassinated if I didn't suggest the Bluegrass as a possible prep, since he's already won at Keeneland.
Well, honest to God, dude, that came up because we're talking about El Nino here in Southern California, so we might have a really wet winter. And training at Keeneland, I was like, that's like horsey heaven for horsemen. Now, we had a couple of days where the weather was terrible. We went down to the train track there on the synthetic and didn't miss a beat. And the horses are just so happy there with everything. So I love the grounds there. And I had mentioned something to Paul about that if the weather gets horrible here, maybe, you know, the one thing I think West Coast horses have an advantage on a lot of Southern horses and East Coast and Midwest horses is our weather. But if we start getting bad weather too, you know, I think being at Keeneland, it's like you're in Southern California every day with that train track.
Well, Doug, only a minute or two left before we do have to wrap it up. We're getting close to the end of the program here this morning, but it has to be an advantage to have a guy like Paul Redham by your side. You've been down this road before. He knows the drill. You've had a lot of success together. Talk about that relationship for a minute.
It's priceless. It's something that... You know, he probably gets sick. He gets sick of me thanking him every day. But I'm just extremely blessed to have Paul and Zilla there. You know, and they're great horsemen. They're great competitors. They, you know, they're just awesome to be a part of them. And you know, and then having, you know, the groom of this horse, Elias, is just an unbelievable groom. And Johnny Garcia, who gallops him, is an unbelievable horseman. And Leandro and Jack and the whole team, you know, it's an honor to be part of the whole thing. And hopefully Team Nyquist can have a big 2016.
Well, let's hope so. Doug, before we let you go, Leandro Mora, how's he doing?
He was right next to me. I should have said his name when he was right next to me, because now he's probably, he didn't hear me say it, so he probably thinks I forgot about him. But he looks great. You know, he had a couple weeks there where we were all really praying for him and scared for him. But, modern medicine and him just being strong as he is, he's bounced back. You would not know a thing to look at him now. And we couldn't keep him away from the barn. He was coming by, and we kept telling him, Leandro, you got to go chill somewhere. And he said, I'm chilling right here. This is where I chill the best. So, but he looks great.
Well, great to hear. And Doug O'Neill looking great as well with Nyquist, who is still undefeated after winning that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Doug, as always, appreciate the time. You're always very gracious with that time and can't thank you enough, and we'll talk to you here soon.
I wouldn't be here without Jude Fells, so thank you, Jude. Thank you too, Mike.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
bud. All right, you guys. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Doug O'Neill, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Be flipping burgers if it wasn't for Jude Feld.
Oh, that's what he always says. I find that hard to believe.
He actually didn't go that direction this time.
Well, he knew the show was coming to an end. He didn't want to do the Jude Feld tribute that he always does, but I'm very thankful that he does appreciate that. I gave him his first job on the racetrack, and so it was great. It's been great for me to be a part of all the Doug O'Neill festivities. Whenever he's around, he includes me in everything.
And I think we now know that when we draft our team, so to speak, for the Churchill Fantasy League this year for the Triple Crown.
Oh, yeah, they can't wait for us to draft
him.
It's like a donation.
We have to leave Nyquist off the team now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Only two preps. Yeah, that doesn't do us any good. We need more races, Doug.
Yeah. Well, also, we don't want to jinx him because anybody we put on our team usually runs south.
Who was our top pick last year? Ocean Knight.
We had Ocean Knight. We had Eagle. we had horses that they dropped off the Derby trail faster than water going downhill.
Competitive Edge. I thought he was going to win the Derby.
There's another one. Oh, that was an embarrassing scene.
All right, well, we hope you enjoyed this look back on Breeders' Cup 2015. Don't forget, we're back with you next Saturday as well. But you can go to our website and check out a podcast of this show and all of our programs. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And don't forget to join us throughout the week for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Details are up there on our site. Our thanks to Mark Cassie and to Shannon Potter and Doug O'Neill for appearing on the program this morning. And JT, been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a great show. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it has been fun. Looking forward to next week as well. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, the Ponta for the Pick Four, I am Mike Penna, and we will talk to you next time on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, of course, go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.